Who did Jesus appear to first? Isn't that interesting? Who would you thought he might have appeared to first?
Peter.
Peter or John, or perhaps all the 11 apostles together. But no, he appeared to Mary. In fact, we're going to see in the accounts as we look that he appeared to several women prior to the apostles. So today we're going to talk about ladies first. Ladies first. We hear that little phrase. It's good manners. Ladies first. But Jesus preempted all that when he appeared to women first after the resurrection. And so as we consider this thought this morning, let's pose the question, why did Jesus appear to women first? Why not the apostles? Why not Peter? Why not John? Why not? Let's pray. Lord, we gather this day, known as Mother's Day, and we look back so many years ago into your word at the resurrection and how by divine appointment and by divine design you chose and appeared to women first after the resurrection. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your word and give us insight and understanding that we too might benefit from what these women knew and understood of you and your ways. In Christ's name, amen. God is the master designer, and we know he has a master plan. And in his master plan, by design, he chose to appear to women first after the resurrection. Now you see, up until that time, and unfortunately in many places and still to this day, women are relegated to be second-class citizens, sometimes mere servants or even slaves. They're sometimes not even considered real people. They're considered more like property. But not so in the eyes of God. For God created all equal in his eyes. And so I believe that after the resurrection, Jesus came to usher in a new day, a new age, and a new way. To open our eyes to see the truth. And the truth is simply this. That he has come for all people and without respecter of persons. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew first and look at the account there of his appearing to the women. In Matthew chapter 28, we have what transpired after the resurrection. It says there in verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." That's the tomb, the grave, the place where Jesus was buried. In verse 2, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes from you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, even as I have told you. And the women departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went, look what happened, verse 9. They went to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus encouraged them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. So Jesus encountered this group of women. He appeared to them, he spoke to them, and he gave them reassurance. There's no need to be afraid, he said. First of all, the fear was Jesus has been crucified. He's been taken from us. These who we were trusting Our religious leaders have done this and in cahoots with the Roman authorities. And so we as his followers, perhaps we're next. There's fear in those kind of thoughts. There's fear in that kind of environment when there's all that chaos and turmoil and Jesus is dead and all hope seemingly is gone. And yet Jesus says, but don't be afraid. Now there's fear in the fact that suddenly one who was dead is standing there talking to you. That's overwhelming. It's incomprehensible. And it can cause you to be in some sense fearful, or at least in awe of him. But Jesus put them at ease very quickly and said, now take it easy and relax and just go quickly and tell the others. Tell the disciples, tell my brethren, let them know what's going on. So he introduced it to them in this way. And let's look then at what else happened. Let's go to Mark. In the end of Mark, we see another account. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. You may say, well, maybe he didn't really appear to them first. That does say he appeared to them, but really, who was first? Well, in verse 9, we find out. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. So here we have clear-cut evidence, very precise wording, that Jesus appeared first to women, and specifically it says there he appeared to Mary. Now, we're going to see that Mary was with the others. They were all together at the appearing in the Gospel of Luke. At the end of that Gospel, there is a record of the various ones that he appeared to, and it lists a number of these various women. In chapter 23 of Luke, it says, the women also which came with Jesus from Galilee followed after him and saw the sepulchre, how the body was laid. And they returned and they gathered the spices. And then verse 1 of 24, on the first day of the week, they brought the spices that they had prepared. And then in verse 10, it gets very specific. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women. There was a whole entourage of these women who were loyal followers of Jesus. These loyal followers of Jesus, these women, had gathered there at the tomb there on that day after the Sabbath, and they came there where Jesus was, and there he appeared to them. Now Jesus has a reason for what he does. And he wants all of us to understand, and women in particular, that you ladies are very special to Jesus, and that's why he said ladies first. You know, the Word of God says the last shall be first and the first last. And while many societies and for many generations women have been disregarded or in some ways demeaned, Jesus comes to elevate you to that place of proper status and saying, hey, you have value and worth in my eyes, and I have come to you to let you know that you're important to me, and I come to say, ladies first. See, Jesus is coming to say that women are significant and important. But there's some things we need to think about the female makeup versus the male. Now, men oftentimes will present these teachings and say, well, men are intellectual, but women are emotional. And they sort of toned down on the emotion side as if that's some kind of cheap, shallow, empty kind of way of conducting yourself. But wait a minute, men. I've seen many a man enraged and infuriated and suddenly pop into an explosion of anger. What do you call that? Emotion? Emotion? One time I was driving into town from where I live out in Gwinnett County one morning. The traffic was a rush, as it always is in the mornings early on work traffic. And so I finally found me an opening in the traffic, and I pulled in reasonable amount of time and accelerated good and all that kind of stuff you got to do in work traffic. But the truck that was behind me, the pickup truck, came racing up and pulled up beside me and honked his horn and pulled ahead of me and drove down the road about a block or so, and then suddenly he slammed on the brakes and spun sideways right in front to block the road, and he jumped out of his truck with a big old cowboy hat. Sorry, cowboys and girls, but he had on a cowboy hat. And there he was in all of his masculine rage, giving me his macho what for with fist doubled and saying who knows what, but probably no sweet, kind words, that's for sure. And he was really laying into me because he didn't want me to pull in front of him. Now, he didn't have to slam on his brakes. There was no major crisis involved. I just did the normal traffic routine, pull out in traffic. But he didn't like it because he was going to be in charge and he was going to be first and he's the man. So here he is standing there, and well, there was a little bit of a shoulder, so I just pulled on around him and just drove on by and never paid him any attention. Woo, did that enrage him. As I looked back in my rearview mirror, he had thrown his cowboy hat on the ground, and he jumped on it, and he stomped on his cowboy hat, and he was furious and giving me, well, I won't go there. But, woo. Now that looks like emotion to me. I just don't know, but I'm telling you, ladies, I think men are emotional. What do you think? Have you seen some emotion in men? We are all emotional, and we all have an intellectual side. It's part of our human makeup. And while there is a leaning or a bent one way or the other, don't minimize those qualities that are God-given, created in God's image, and with those unique characteristics of emotion or intellect. They have their place and their purpose. But add to that this part about women. Women are very tender, gentle, and sensitive. So sometimes a woman is put down, oh, you're too sensitive. Oh, that's just that gushy emotion. But it's the sensitivity about the woman that is, I believe, what makes it possible for women to have what's known as women's intuition. Now, that's not just some cute little word somebody made up. There is intrinsically in a woman a sensitivity that allows her to pick up on things. She's able to detect what's going on with her kids or with her husband. She's tuned in because she's sensitive to her spirit. And it's at that point, you see, that the Lord Jesus was responding, because he knew that men who are intellectual had missed the main point of being sensitive. Furthermore, Jesus recognized that as women in the culture of the day, they of all people understood submission to authority. They of all people understood what it means to be a servant. And of all people, they understood what it means to trust and obey. And you see, those qualities, which may have kind of grated at some women because of the way men treated them or responded to them, or the way men conducted themselves around the women, were the very qualities that enabled the women to respond to Jesus in such a unique and personal way as the women did. So that in the final analysis, when it came time for that glowing moment of the resurrection, the ones that got in on it first were the ones who were most attuned to Jesus at the spirit level, at the heart level. And so Jesus knew he could come to the women and they would believe. They would see him for who he is, the resurrection and the life, and they would believe. They would exercise faith in him without doubt, without question, just explicit trust and total obedience. So as soon as he appeared to them, they didn't say, oh, I'm not so sure it's him. Let's touch him. Let's check him out. I don't know, maybe it's a ghost. As soon as they heard him say, go, they went. Because Jesus, the Lord, had spoken. And they were quick to respond. And they were also quick to believe. So these are the women that Jesus appeared to first. But what about the guys? What about the men here? What's the story on them? Well, let's see. We stopped a moment ago in Mark. Now let's go on over to Luke. And let's look there at Luke 24. Luke 24, let's see what we can find out. Let's get some insight on these men. Now let's go back there to verse 10. Jesus has appeared to the women, the whole group of them. Now they've gone as Jesus instructed, immediately went to the men, to the 11, to the apostles and the disciples. And we see there in verse 10, Mary Magdalene, all the others. And they went, which told these things to the apostles. So they told exactly what Jesus told them, and they told what they had seen as well as what he had said. And look at verse 11. But their words seemed to them, that is to the men, the apostles and the disciples present, as what? Idle tales. Idle tales. And they didn't believe them. Idle tales. Oh, that's just a bunch of women talk. You know, that's just a bunch of gossip. You know how women are. They're just talking about stuff. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just in this emotional furor. They hadn't got over his death yet. They're just going around and wishful thinking. But that's just how these women are. And so it was idle tales. It's like, what do they know? After all, they only are just women. And since we are, I mean, we're the men. So surely Jesus wouldn't waste his time on these lowly women when he could come to us. I mean, we're the main men here. He chose us. We're the number one pick. So why wouldn't he choose to come to us after the resurrection? Now, I'm not necessarily saying the disciples thought in those terms, but I will tell you this. There's many a man that thinks in those terms today. And I assure you, that's wrong. That's erroneous. It's not of God. So the men, the disciples, these apostles, the very ones Jesus had chosen and groomed and who had the privilege to sit under his instruction for 3 whole years, missed the first and most simple test after the resurrection, and that is they didn't believe he had raised from the dead. They just simply did not believe it. In fact, in the Gospel of John, which we heard the account of, let's go there again. In chapter 20, verse 9 of John, it says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead." John chapter 20, verse 9. He did not know the Scripture. These disciples did not know the Scripture that Jesus must rise again from the dead. And so the disciples went away back to their home. After all, why hang around here? Obviously somebody stole the body. We don't know. But it's gone. They didn't get it. They didn't stand around waiting for him. They didn't seek guidance about what to do now. They just went back to their houses. Went back to their old ways. And yet Mary stuck around, didn't she? She stayed there. She was in a waiting mode. She was in an expectant mode. You see, faith has a waiting element to it, and it has an expectancy element to it. And Mary was engaged in both of those, waiting and expectant. And as she looked, she saw. And we're going to find out how it is that she was able to see what these two men who went into the tomb did not see. So Mary looked, she saw. Let's go back to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. So we see there that Mary went and told that she had been with Jesus to those who were waiting and mourning and weeping for his absence, for his loss, these apostles. And then in verse 11 it says, "And when they had heard that he was alive and that when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they did not believe." So here again, indicating these apostles didn't believe. Now look at verse 12 though. So we say, well, okay, but that was because that was a woman. But surely, it's a man's world. So what do the men have to say? Well, so then in verse 12, so Jesus appeared in another form to two of his disciples. That's on the Emmaus Road. You may remember the story. And verse 13, these two went and told it to the rest of the apostles and disciples. Verse 13, and yet what? Neither believed they them. So wait a minute. These guys have a real problem. Let's just face it. It's not a man-woman issue. It's not a battle of the sexes here. They just flat out are filled with unbelief. These men don't know how to believe. Why? Because remember, they're primarily what? Intellectual. Intellectual. And because of that mindset of rational thinking that men operate with, they couldn't grasp this whole idea because it didn't make sense. It was illogical, unreasonable, in fact, impossible. All right, let's go. Let's go to Luke, the end of Luke. Let's follow that line of thinking a little bit further here. Luke 24. All right, in verse 12 of Luke 24, Peter arrives at the tomb, the sepulcher. He stooped down, he looked inside, he went in, and then when he realized Jesus wasn't there, it says he departed wondering in himself. Now that phrase wondering in himself means he's trying to figure it out. He's trying to understand what's going on. Because, as I say, it's not logical and it doesn't make sense. So he's trying to figure this thing out, and then, if you want to be sure that that's what's happening, in verse 13, that's when these two apostles or disciples or whatever, they're walking down the Emmaus Road and Jesus appears. Now, it says there in verse 14 that they are discussing among themselves what had happened. That is, death, burial, and supposed disappearance of the body. Women claiming he's been raised from the dead. And so they're discussing this, and in verse 15 it says, while they communed together, that is, they were fellowshipping and sharing and discussing this matter, and it says, and they reasoned. They reasoned. Now see, there's reason. That's the logical side. That's the male side trying to figure it out and make sense of it. All the while missing the resurrected Christ who's about to appear to them on the road, and they almost missed him there. Because he walked and talked with them for the longest time, and then they were about to leave him, and he finally practically invited himself to go home with them. And then they said, oh, yeah, why don't you come with us? And then, of course, even after they got the message and went back and told the other guys still didn't get it. It's like, but we don't believe. And as strong as that is, let's look at John chapter 20 after the resurrection. And we see here the apostle named Thomas. And the whole group now, the 10 of them were in a room and Jesus appeared and they got it. So, okay, now, yeah, it's Jesus. We know it's him. He's been raised from the dead. And we're gung-ho, going strong. We're believers. They told Thomas. And Thomas, when he heard in verse 25 that they had seen the Lord, he said, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will what? No. I will not believe. I will not believe. That does have a ring of stubbornness, men, of being hard-headed or headstrong. Not a good quality when it comes to the kingdom of God and the ways of God. It is entrenched in humanity, but we've got to get beyond that and realize we're no longer in the flesh, we're in the spirit. So we've got to get with the program, men, and move out with God and begin to believe and trust him. So then, Jesus sets the record straight for Thomas because he comes and appears and he says, look, I understand your doubts and I accept that. That's just the way you guys are. That's the way men are. That's okay to have doubts. And women have doubts too, by the way, ladies. And believe me, I've seen enough of that in my travels. So whether you be male or female and you have your doubts, Jesus is going to respond to those doubts in a very sensitive, tender way, as the Good Shepherd always does. And so he appeared to Thomas and said, look, here I am. Check it out. Here's my hands and here's my side and see for yourself. And of course, immediately when Thomas was in the presence of the Lord, there was no question in his mind, Jesus is alive. Jesus has been raised from the dead. So Thomas, having seen and experienced that, recognized the truth. But Jesus, as he talked to him there in verse 27, he made this important statement. He said, be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. In other words, don't operate just on what you can see and think and feel and understand based on your human senses and your rational understanding and your education and your experiences, but just simply be believing. You see, in the kingdom of God, God's economy operates on a simple premise of faith, trusting in Him, the invisible, intangible, yet real and almighty God, and through the mediator of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be not faithless, but believing. And then Jesus said this to Thomas in verse 29. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Okay, you had to wait until you could see in order to believe. So the logical mind says, I must see it, and then I'll believe it. But Jesus said, but what about those who don't have that luxury? Because Jesus ascended to the Father. His physical body is not here, and He rarely appears in that way, although some instances of people reporting such things do happen. But Jesus said in verse 29, John 20, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Do you want to experience God's blessings in your life? Do you want to experience the goodness of God in your life? His care and protection and provision on your life? Then even though you don't see Him, and even though things around you don't feel good, women, to the emotion, or seem and make sense to you, men, in the intellect, it doesn't matter. Just trust Him. Just believe. He says you'll experience His presence, His power, His provision, if you'll but believe. If you'll but trust Him. Jesus is reaching out for us to trust Him. God's way has always been the way of grace through faith. And God has made provision through His grace for all our needs. But we've got to trust Him. We've got to step out beyond what looks and seems and sounds right to just what He says. To take Him at His word and trust Him and just obey Him. To step out in that simple act of faith. If we go back to Matthew 26, we see the whole thing as it unraveled. Jesus is at the garden. He's prayed in the garden. The guards have come, and there is Judas to betray Him with a kiss. And suddenly, in the hoopla of what went on, and Peter's attempt, feeble attempt to protect the Lord through cutting off the ear of one of the guards, and Jesus miraculously heals the guy's ear and sets the record straight that His kingdom is not the way of force, but the way of faith. It says there in verse 56, Matthew 26, 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. All the men. All the disciples forsook Him and fled. And Peter was among them. Now, yeah, he trailed along afar off. But he really wasn't with Him anymore. In fact, that becomes quite evident as three times he is approached and given opportunity to acknowledge Jesus as his Lord. And each of the three times he did what? Denied Him three times. And so we see that these men, these leaders, had given ample evidence to Jesus that they were not the likely candidate for Him to appear to first after the resurrection. He had to pave the way. Women are first responders. Ever notice that? I'll wake up in the morning when we had our kids at home, and little babies especially, and Lou would say, well, I was up half the night with your daughter. What? Well, I got up three times with our son. Huh? I slept right through it. But a woman, they hear that baby cry and they jump immediately to respond. Or the kids are out playing in the backyard and suddenly one of the kids falls and hurts their knee or something. And they start crying for mama. You know, they don't cry for daddy, do they? Occasionally they might call for daddy, but most of the time I hear them calling for mama, and for good reason, because mama's going to be first responder. And sure enough, mom gets right out there, looks after the kid, takes care of the kid. I remember my worst fall, I fell and landed on an old broken beer bottle. You know, thanks guys, whoever you threw that out there. But anyway, I cut my knee all up, and I come running home in pain, barely could run, in fact, because my knee was all aching and hurt and damaged because the beer bottle had glass and sharp points had gone right up in there and cut my knee. And so I got to the house, and I'm all bloody and everything, and mama starts doctoring me up there, my mom did, and then she just kind of hugged me and kissed me and said, "Oh, you're going to be all right. It's okay. It's okay." And her words of peace and comfort just settled me down, just put me at ease. Of course, I had to go through it again when we got to the doctor and he was going to give me the shots and sew me up. I'd never been down that road before, but mama put me at ease again. Good old mom taking care of us kids. First responders. And Jesus understood that. After all, the women were there at the tomb already before those disciples ever came around. The only reason they came is because the women said the body was gone. They had to go find out for themselves, but they didn't even get the message that he had been raised from the dead. They only concurred, "Yeah, he's gone. Yep, sure enough, nobody here." Let's go back to Mark chapter 16. Verse 14. So after having appeared to the women, and even as Jesus promised, he appeared to the men, to the apostles. So there in verse 14, afterward, after appearing to the women, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat eating meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So if you thought I was kind of hard or exaggerating, man, I mean, Jesus is straight up here. And the record is very clear. It says there that Jesus upbraided those 11 apostles. That is, he corrected them. He chastised them. He rebuked them. He firmly, yes, lovingly, but most deliberately told them, "You guys missed it. You guys blew it." And then he specifically says, "Because of your unbelief. Your willingness to not trust me. You're over here trying to figure out and understand stuff. You're casting dispersion on women who saw me and talked to me, who came back out of the goodness of their heart to tell you, and then you dump on them as if they don't know what they're talking about." And he said, "I'm trying to tell you, listen to me. I'm telling you through as many ways as I can, I am alive, and I am the resurrection and the life." So he addressed their hardness of heart. That is, they had been told in various ways. In fact, on many occasions, Jesus had told them, these apostles, "I'm going to go and I will die, and on the third day I will be raised again." And he had gone over and over and over that with them. Yet they didn't get it. They didn't hear him. Or they didn't believe him, but at any rate, they weren't responding. And the Lord gave him a chance. And so, women, I think one moral of the story is, listen to your wife. She might just have something worth saying. And it might do you well to listen occasionally to what she really is saying. I'll tell you this, I have discovered, even though it doesn't always make sense, and I don't always agree with it on the human plane, when my wife speaks, I do listen. And I tune in and I take it into careful consideration. Because somewhere in the garble of how women communicate, which we men are often dull in understanding, there is a message. And if you'll listen, God will speak to you and give you some guidance and bring some balance into your life and some stability into your home. But you've got to be tuned in. And you've got to be responding. Now, the overarching message that is delivered to us here and was presented early on, and in fact, specifically addressed to those gathered at the tomb of one named Lazarus in John chapter 11 and verse 40. And as they gathered outside that tomb of that one who was a friend of Jesus, who had died, whose two sisters, Mary and Martha, had called for Jesus to come, and it seemed that he was late, and yet Jesus is always on time, so there was a plan in his delay. And so there, standing at the tomb, Jesus speaks to Martha. Because when Jesus said, "Take away the stone," Martha said, "But wait a minute, he's been dead for 3 days, his body is stinking." And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, we just had this conversation. What did I just tell you?" And so verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now let me say, he wasn't just talking to Martha. While the conversation at that moment was directed specifically to her, there were many others present, not just women, but men. The apostles, many of the disciples were present, many of the other men who were friends in the village were present. They were all there. This was a big moment, gathered at the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus said, "If you will believe, you will see the glory of God." Jesus Christ, when he arose from the dead, came forth in all the glory and splendor of God Almighty. He, in his resurrection, stood in resurrection glory. And those who believed, the women first, saw the glory of God. The men eventually came around. Praise the Lord for that, man. There's a place for us too. You see, God is no respecter of persons. He cares about all of us. But he wants to level the playing field here, so that we all know and understand that our only way is through the man, Christ Jesus, the Lord. And that way is the way to God the Father, who is the Father of all men and all women. And he today says to us, ladies first, but men, you count too. So let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that whether it be male or female, we've all been prone to doubt and unbelief. Lord, on the side of the women, they have at times let their emotions run the train, and we men have been captured and captivated by a lot of intellect and coupled with emotion. But whether it be intellect or emotion, it doesn't really matter, Lord, because neither of those were the ones that were to have the head of this house. You are to be the head of our house. You are to be Lord of our life. And only by your Spirit are we to follow your lead and your guide. And so, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are Lord. We confess the sin of unbelief. We renounce that unbelief in Jesus' name. We cast down intellect and emotion, and we reject them in Jesus' name as any form of credible basis for decisions. And we submit to your Lordship, and to Holy Spirit ask you to take control, lead, guide, and direct, that, Lord, all of us might not only see the glory of God, but might walk in your glory and express your glory and grace to a world that walks in darkness, so that they too might see a great light and know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for mothers, and we do say, ladies first, in Jesus' name.